Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Tuesday, February the 27th, 2024. And so glad that you are on today. We get a couple more days. We get an extra day of February this year. So it's not the next to last day of February. It's we still got three more days counting today. I hope you guys are doing well. I just realized, you know, I told you guys that the platform for the podcast is changing. So the way it's recorded for the audio podcast is going to be changing in June. What I just kind of hit me was like, well, what about all the podcasts? What about all the episodes that are recorded? What's going to happen to them? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen to them. If I don't, the ones I don't download will be lost. So I have to go back between now and June and download all the episodes, I guess, to my computer that I want to keep from the last, well, since 2020 when we started this. So 4 years worth of podcasts, including the one that some of those extended podcasts about, you know, how I survived Succession. All of those stories, man. So that's going to be fun between now and June. I hope there's a way to like do like a bulk download and not have to go one at a time. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. I hope. Anyway. But I'm glad you're on today, and in fact, even this one that we're recording today on the audio podcast would have to be downloaded because I'm still using the old platform. So I guess the sooner I figure out the new platform and start recording on that, that'll be a few less I have to download. So I don't know. I'm just bemoaning. I'm just whining this morning on a Tuesday morning. Let's jump in, man. Hope you guys are doing well. We're doing good. We're doing good. Oh, let's do it. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. Genesis chapter 42, 1 through 17. Welcome, everybody. See what the Lord has to say to us today. Genesis 42, 1 through 17. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you keep just looking at each other? He continued, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die. Like, why don't you just stand there looking at each other? That sounds like something a dad would say, doesn't it? You're just sitting there. What? Do something. Something's better than nothing. I heard there's plenty in Egypt. Why don't we go down there? Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin because he didn't trust them. That's basically what he says. Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid they might harm him. That harm might come to him. Now, was that harm from them? Was that harm from the journey? Or was it both? I don't know. But whatever it was, he couldn't lose another son. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for there was famine in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Remember, there's a lot of unresolved pain and hurt right there. Last time he saw his brothers, they left him in a cistern for dead. So they felt, just betrayal, hurt, pain. So Joseph is, the initial response is a little bit of anger. So he speaks harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Came to buy food. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said, "You are spies. You've come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." Joseph's like, "You honest. You guys are, you shady. Y'all some shady. Jacob, he's honest, but Jacob had a reputation of being a deceiver." So they had some family drama for sure. "No, we've come to buy food. We're sons of one man. We're honest men. We would never do anything shady or underhanded." "You threw me in a cistern. How does that ring a bell? Is that the way honest men treat their brother?" "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers. The sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more." Now, you know what he's thinking. He's worried about his brother now. Like, where's Benjamin? Last time they went on all the boys went on a trip, they left one, me, behind. And now they've come. They went 12, they went back 11. This time they came just with 10. Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you, you are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here." He wants to make sure Benjamin, all right. "Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." And it will be, and he put all of them in custody for 3 days. Wow. And that's where we leave it today. We leave that story there today. Pick it up the rest of tomorrow. You know, that had to be an emotional moment for Joseph to see his brothers after so many years. Having to look in the face those who had betrayed him, those who'd hurt him. But he loves them, right? They're all his brothers, so he's conflicted. Isn't that family? That's family, isn't it? It's complicated. Right? How many of y'all in families you're like, it's complicated. I love them. They drive me crazy. I love them, but we ain't always had the best relationship. A lot of families are that way. A lot of brothers and sisters are that way. Siblings. You know, yeah, I love them, but there's been some hurt and some pain and some betrayal, some fights and misunderstandings and just right out meanness. Yeah. And so Joseph seeing them again, you know, was harsh. And now the power, the tables have turned. And Joseph is the person in power, and they are in need of his help. That's a great story in the Bible, man. Just because the way Joseph handled that was pretty amazing. But we'll get to read more of it tomorrow. All right, now we're jumping over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I guess I did not prepare the right page. Let me get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm almost there. 1 Corinthians 8. Nope. Keep going back. 5. There it is. Oh my gosh. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. You talk about family drama. Good night. Look at the heading. The heading for this version of for this section, dealing with a case of incest. Jeez. Good morning, everybody. I don't pick the verses, man. This is just the lectionary. So that's what the reading is for today. Let's see what the Word of God says. Those Corinthians, they got some crazy mess going on. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife. So a man sleeping with his, like, a stepmom. And verse 2, and you're proud. So this is the Corinthians, man. Like, they're like, this is the thing that happens. It still happens today. People get proud of their tolerance. We're so loving and kind. I have this conversation with friends sometimes that I've gone to school with. And they're so proud of their tolerance, so proud of the unity. Look at this. We just all let everybody just do their own thing. Aren't we loving and Christ-like? Paul's like, no. Just because you all let everybody do their own nasty sinfulness doesn't mean you're glorifying Christ. You're not even a church. You live like the pagans. So here's the context in Corinthians. They got a guy who's living in an immoral. He's got an immoral affair going on with his stepmom. And they're like, look at us. See, we don't judge nobody. We don't judge nobody. You know, we just glad everybody in the house. And Paul's like, what? This is not glorifying to Christ. Jesus does have ethical, the community of Christ. Right now at Bayside, we're doing kingdom values, right? The values of the kingdom of God, the values of God's people is distinct. Like, that we have values by which we live, which are the values that are reflected in Jesus. And one of those is a sexual integrity, a sexual ethic that we should uphold and adhere to. And so they're immature, right? A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put on and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this? Like, shouldn't there have been some, like, cleaning the house a little bit? Like, some confrontation, some tough conversations? Like, hey, bro, this ain't cool, man. No. For my part, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus on the one who's been doing this. Now, isn't that an interesting phrase? We often hear, well, I don't judge nobody. Well, there's a judgment that is appropriate for a Christian, and there's a judgment that is not appropriate. We do not finally judge someone's salvation. I can't judge who is in and who is out. I can't judge. That's not my place. You don't determine who's saved and who isn't. Who is God is going to accept into heaven and who he is not. That's not our final decision. We know that it requires a faith in Jesus, but I can't see into your heart and see if you truly have faith in Jesus or who does or who doesn't. That's a judgment we don't do. We don't judge who's in and who's out. What we do have discernment. We can judge the fruit of people's lives. We can judge good and evil when we see it. And so Paul's saying here, what? I've already passed judgment. Like, I know enough already. I mean, I know enough of the details to know this ain't right. Right? So when you are assembled and I am with you in the spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so his spirit might be saved on the day of the Lord. What's the turn this man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh? Like, basically excommunicate him. And because he needs to make a tough decision. He needs to make a decision about whether he's going to love God or sin more. And there's now an effect he is having on the entire community. And so that is important. This man's sinful behavior is permeating and affecting negatively the rest of the community. And so he needs to be confronted. And hopefully in this confrontation and removal, if he doesn't change, there will be a change. There will be a repentance. And the awesome thing that we know about this story is the guy does repent. This guy, very likely, there's a reference in the next letter in 2 Corinthians of the Corinthians who continue to like, they couldn't get it right, man. They couldn't get it right. First of all, they were letting it happen. Well, then they flipped the switch and they became very, even after the guy repented, they continued to pound him. They continued to, you know, make him feel guilty and shameful. And then Paul had to correct them there. He's like, man, if he's been restored to fellowship, let the man live. He's, you know, the work of having the tough conversation and confrontation has worked. He's repented of his sin. Let him live in grace. So that's really the cool ending to this story that it seems right now very, like, wow, harsh. But Paul says, turn him over. Like, if he refuses to repent and it's continuing and this lifestyle is damaging the congregation, damaging the community, damaging more than anything the witness of Jesus, then you need to turn him over. Why? So that he may be saved. Ultimately, it's that he might be saved, that he might repent and come to salvation. Verse 6, your boasting is not good. There's a lot of churches need to hear that, man. lot of churches today boasting about all kind of tolerance. They need to know that your, I'm going to underline that just because I'm feeling it right now. Your boasting is not good. Come on. There's so many churches boasting about their sinfulness. And I think Paul would say the same thing to them. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Ooh, come on, y'all. That's the remedy right there. What's supposed to define the community of Jesus? Sincerity and truth. What is to unite us? I mean, that is what he's talking about. Leaven is unity. Leaven is unity, okay? But don't let unity be around malice and wickedness. There's plenty of that. Don't let the unity be the substance of your unity is around malice and wickedness. And there's some places where the unity is around ungodliness. He says, don't let that be what unifies you, but let the leaven, the unity, be around sincerity and truth. Unity and truth. That's good, man. That's a good word right there. All right, let's jump over to Mark chapter 3. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. So glad to have you guys on. Thanks for joining us for the reading of the word today. These second week of Lent, these readings through the lectionary that correspond with the second week of Lent in the church calendar. Mark chapter 3, verse 19 through 35. 19 through 35. okay, well, we'll start at 20. 19, it says 19b, so that's like the end of the... I don't know, we're going to start at 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so he and his disciples were not even able to eat. Well, that's a problem. Anytime we ain't able to eat, we got a situation. Anytime we ain't able to eat, we got us a sitch, serious sitch. And so Jesus wasn't able to eat, so there's a situation going on. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said he is out of his mind. Wow. They were like, Jesus' family. They're like, Jesus is crazy. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebul. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. Beelzebul is just another word for Satan or the devil. So they're saying he's casting out demons by the power of demons. Verse 23. So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. So what is he saying? See, I'm doing things. I'm doing things that is bringing down the dominion of Satan. I'm destroying strongholds. I'm setting people free. I'm forgiving sin. I'm delivering people. Like, those are the things the enemy sets up, and I'm tearing them down. So how can the enemy be fighting the enemy? In fact, no one enters a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven of all their sins and every slander they utter. Even this man in 1 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He can be forgiven, and he was, as we know from the rest of the story. People can be forgiven for all their sins and even slander that they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. So, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to deny the work of the Holy Spirit, to deny the work of conviction. And so to deny the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting of us of sin means that we will never repent of sin. And so if we ignore the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that convicts us of sin and calls us to repentance in the Lord Jesus, then we will never be saved. We will remain in our unforgiveness, or will remain unforgiven. So we have to believe that's a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is to deny the work of the Holy Spirit, is to deny and to denounce that it's real. Like when Jesus did things like forgive sin, they said he was blaspheming. Why? Because he was doing things only God could do. And so they denied that that was the work of God in his life. And so if we deny the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting us of sin, if we deny that there even is a Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit isn't real, and we deny him and deny his convicting work of sin in the world and in our lives, then we will then, you know, logically, the next step is we will not repent of sin. We will ignore that call to repentance, and we will remain unforgiven, and we will remain in our sin. And so the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only sin that can't be forgiven. It's a stubborn denial of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a stubborn refusal to listen to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, which leads to repentance, which leads to salvation. And so it's a very serious thing, but it's not the kind of thing that is like you won't know if you did it or not. Like some people are so hung up, like, did I blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Well, if you're worried about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, it's very likely you'd have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit, because a concern would indicate a conviction, a sense of conviction, a sense of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you care about what the Holy Spirit is experiencing in your behavior, then you have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit. It's the blatant disregard, being void of any concern of the Holy Spirit, that is the greater concern. Verse 30. He said this because they were saying he has an impure spirit. Verse 31, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, here are my mother, my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sisters and mother. That's my family. Those who do the will of God. Wow. Awesome. All right, you guys, thanks for being on today. Hey, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for the teachings from your word, the story of Joseph, and just the healing and the having to confront just some sinful hurt from his past. That had been done to him, and then this dealing with the sinfulness in the early church, and Jesus healing the sick and raising the dead and confronting wickedness, and also having to deal with his own family who didn't understand what he was about. So God, we just thank you for your word and its instruction. We thank you for guiding us and directing us. Lord, we pray that we would be united around sincerity and truth, the truth of your word. God, thank you for my friends. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had today to spend some time in your word together. May you bless and encourage each one of them. May you strengthen them. May you give them all that they need in you. I ask in your holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on today. Be sure to hit that subscribe on YouTube so that you can be notified every time we go live. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.